This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller here in the studio Friday, September 25th. Mr. Piller, how have you been?
Well, Jim, once again, the WGCL sick bank is empty, thanks to me, but it's been a nice few weeks.
On a drought, brother, yeah. Thanks to you.
Yeah, no kidding. Me and Glass took like 10 days in a row off in August, so yeah.
It's okay.
But a little business, a little pleasure, and good to be back. Good to see
good.
You.
Good. I'm glad to have you back.
Absolutely.
You have been missed. It is, we're back to short show Friday.
Yeah.
Last week we had a full show
That's
because Chalk Talk was at 7.
I heard it.
But tonight we have North Putnam at Edgewood. With Joe Smith at Chalk Talk at the bottom of the hour. So again, if you're catching us Friday night, you're going to get Short Show Friday. But if you're catching us Saturday morning, you get the full show here on WGCL.
Yeah, I think, John and Terry probably have the call tonight because Joe, I would assume, is down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's... But Joe will have his Chalk Talk with Jerry Bland.
Yes.
So they'll be at the Mustang Corral tonight against North Putnam. Hopefully it's a game that can get Edgewood kind of back in the winning ways here. They've struggled a little bit, but we've known Jerry for a long time and the good program and great kids over there. So,
and it is homecoming weekend at Edgewood.
Whoa.
And I'm going to make a break out of here as soon as we get done because they are having an all-class reunion for Edgewood alumni tonight out at the Mustang Corral. So I'm going to try and get out there and see some folks as well.
Don't hurt yourself running out the door.
I'm going to need a name tag, though, brother. People change over a few years' time.
Yeah.
Excited, though, to have here in the studio in just a little bit, Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club. I'm just going to be honest. You won't hear Mr. Piller's voice in the interview. They came in a day ahead.
Yep.
We had to do a little pre-planning for their schedules, but it will blend seamlessly through the next hour. Skip Chambers and Michael Carter here in the studio this week. Next week, first-time guest, and I have to admit I don't know much about it. This was on the recommendation of our good friend Julie Warren, Abby Gitlitz, who's with the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch.
That sounds interesting.
So yeah. October's coming up next month, and I think it's highly appropriate. It sounds like a fun event. So Abby will be on the show next week here on WGCL.
How about that, Jim? Next Friday's show will be an October show already.
The burr months are the best months, brother.
No. We'll argue about that later. Forget that. But what I'm telling you is that I was just going to get ready to say is the weather that's been absolutely perfect in this area for the last, 10, 12 days now.
I know.
Probably could use a little bit of rain maybe in the middle of the night here and there. But my goodness, it's just been absolutely perfect.
I haven't had a mow. So
no.
It's kind of been okay. But by the same token, it would be nice for a little bit of dampness. So
that's great. It's been beautiful.
But
this sounds really exciting, though, Jim. This the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch. I think you're right. Even though I'm not a giant fan of the burr months, as you say, forget that. I've never heard that, but it's ridiculous. I like the summer months. I don't really have a neat little thing with them. They're just warm. But no, this is great. It is a nice time of year, and obviously we're still a couple weeks away from the leaves turning. But Southern Indiana, and we're really lucky to be in this area. So this will be a cool one. Be excited to hear, and then we've got some other things coming up, brewing, like the cauldron. There you go. Jim's doing the stir motion
exactly.
For those of you scoring at home. And
we're trying a little fun in October because it's Halloween season, and trying to reach out to an old guest who was on the show a couple years ago.
Yeah,
see if Matt can be on.
Yeah, I think we might be having we might have something going.
Some ghost stories coming into the festival at the end of the month next month as well. Busy weekend though this weekend in Bloomington.
Oh my gosh,
we'll talk
it's
a little bit
crazy.
More later on, but. Exactly.
All the streets are closed down in various directions. I'm almost surprised there's not a home football game this
it's
weekend.
Almost like the Pope's in town,
but
he's only 1,000 miles east.
Yeah, there you go.
So
Anyway,
well, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. We'll come back with weather and give you some news and all that good stuff, and then Skip Chambers and Michael Carter will be on in just a little bit. Things going well at Jackson Creek?
Wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, rolling right along, and we'll talk calendar a little bit, but
okay.
We're finishing 8 weeks of school are over, and that's pretty amazing, and we're doing great things across the school corporation, so it's kind of exciting. I know we'll talk calendar a little bit, so I don't want to give too much away, but 8 weeks in already, we've been almost two full months of the school year in, and no one's skipping a beat, and everybody's right in a nice groove. So Where to go with that?
All right. We're going to take a break, come back with your forecast, some local news, and then we'll get into the full show here in just a little bit. But again, if you're catching us Friday night, Joe Smith at the bottom of the hour with Chalk Talk before the game, North Putnam at Edgewood. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and WGCLRadio.com. We're streaming there 24/7, so check it out. We'll be back in a couple of minutes right here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller here in the studio. It's so nice to have you back.
Oh, Jim. It's nice to have you. Hold on. Let's hug. I'm kidding.
I was talking to somebody this morning, or yesterday morning, I should say, and they were talking about how their office is very affectionate, and they greet people with a hug. And I'm a pretty affectionate guy, but sometimes a little hugging has gone a long way.
Oh, there you go.
But I'll still give you the love. Absolutely.
There you go. Outstanding.
Forecast, though, Mr. Piller, what do you think?
Yeah, if you're with us here on Friday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, low around 60. If you're with us Saturday morning, a 40% chance of showers later today, mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Saturday night, 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high around 60. And then Sunday, just 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy again, high near 77, so maybe some rain this weekend. We'll see what happens, Jim. But as always, WGCLRadio.com for all your weather all the time.
All right. Well, according to the Herald Times, enabling residents to vote on proposals for county road projects and polling the public for ideas are just some of the advantages that county commissioners hope to capitalize on by perching Granicus. It's a computer interface system that would allow residents to interact with local government officials, and it was demonstrated during the commissioner's public meeting on Tuesday this week. Commissioner Julie Thomas said the cost would be about $650 a month and would allow residents to do things such as suggest topics for discussion, vote on proposals and plans from various departments, and submit queries. Pat Stauffer's commissioner said he liked the idea, but was a little concerned about how it would be monitored. According to the report, commissioner's office would be responsible for monitoring the website for things regarding comments and disruptive individuals. Next steps are going to be determining who would be responsible for specific duties, training, and contacting county legal to review the contract before it is approved. So nothing yet, but we might get a little high tech on the county commissioner's side.
Cool. All right, Jim. In Indiana, 892,699 people receive supplemental nutritional assistant program benefits with an average monthly benefit of $122.43, according to the USDA, Jim. That's food stamps, kind of in more common language. As of July, able-bodied adults without dependents are required to work, participate in an employment training program, or a combination of both for 20 hours a week to receive full benefits. Those who don't meet the requirements will be limited to receiving benefits for 3 months in a 36-month period. The work requirements do not affect families with children, and marital status does not impact the work requirements. Little history here for you. The decision to reinstate the work requirement was made federally and by the state. In the wake of the recession, President Obama passed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act in 2009 as a part of the nation's stimulus plan. In dozens of states, including Indiana, the act suspended the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996, which requires adults between the ages of 18 and 49 without children or dependents to work 20 hours or more each week to receive these benefits. When the act became law in February 2009, Indiana's unemployment rate was 10% and Monroe County's was 6.6. Today, Indiana's unemployment rate is 6.1%, Monroe County's is 5.7. And so what this all means for us here in Monroe County, Jim, is that 960 Monroe County residents are potentially running up to lose their food stamp eligibility because of not being able to meet these requirements. And so it's been Indiana's intention all along to reinstate the work requirements, said Marnie Lemons, deputy director of the FSSA official Office of Communications and Media. We figured the sooner we can get people back to work, the sooner they can get jobs and no longer need these benefits. So again, to kind of summarize, we've got some people that are not able to meet the requirements. Some of that has to do with homelessness. Some of that has to do with not being able to get medical records and some other legal paperwork. But kind of a big deal, because when those benefits dry up, we have to go back to what we talked about with the wonderful guest, Vicki Pierce, about a month ago here on the show about Community Kitchen, Shalom Center, other people picking up the slack. As you mentioned it, with the colder winter weather coming along, this is going to be something to watch to see how the state responds to this, because this is obviously just one small part of the state where this is happening.
Wednesday night, it was a lot of discussion at MCCSC regarding the upcoming 3 years for the school calendar. A lot of parents and community members spoke at this meeting with the calendar committee. Say that five times fast. Mm-hmm. There's 17 members of that. It's teachers, admin, parents, and students. Are you on this committee, Mr. Piller?
I am not on this committee, Jim.
Okay. Basically, a lot of people talked about the concern with the extended calendar anymore and the inability to do certain things, travel abroad, see family across the country. I don't know that those are problems that the majority of MCC students or
right.
kids in school in general have to challenge. Any thoughts you want to share on the plan for the next MCC school calendar?
Well, you know what, Jim? I think I could probably argue this either direction, so mm-hmm. I don't know if you want me to try to pick one.
I love your political correctness.
That's me, Jim. You know, I think there's a couple different avenues here. You know, obviously, one, the summer has been shorter. There's no question mm-hmm. about that. Obviously, since when I first started teaching here in MCCSC 15 years ago, the summer's probably backed itself up about 3 or 4 weeks. Overall, and that's kind of held true even over the last couple years. But now people, when we started school this year on August 4th, I think it was, that was kind of a wake-up call for people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got a lot of students that work over the summer. We've got families that do travel. We've got kids that need downtime and some unstructured time in the summer. So that's certainly something that's being considered. On the other side, we've also got a large population of students and families in town that don't travel internationally, that don't travel all over the place. And so school is that place for them where they kind of get nurturing, and they get obviously education, but they get nutrition and they get some right. other things like that. And so we've got to make the balance of this decision on everybody in the community. And so I think there's a lot of people, this great committee, that has to take in a lot of different perspectives to make the right call.
My thoughts, I'm glad that people got out and made their voices heard, whatever their feelings are. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got Skip Chambers and Mike Carter from the Monroe County History Center. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio along with Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club. Glad to have you guys back in the studio.
Thank you.
You doing well?
Yeah, glad to see you.
Well, glad to have you.
Doing great, Jim.
Good. It's nice to have you guys back because trying to have you on every few months, 7, 8 months, whatever it is, kind of talk about how things are going. And it looks like the group has really grown in numbers recently. Am I seeing some good things when I look at Facebook posts and things like that? Skip, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, it's we started out with six people originally, February, 2.5 years ago. And it was Sarah Robertson, Shelby Kaiser, George Carpenter, Donna Stockstill, and me and you.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Out of a little cubbyhole in the library.
And that's the big six.
It's grown to where we have average at least 50 the meeting, 50 or 60, with a high of 70 one time. So, yeah, it's grown a lot.
And the Monroe County History Club meets on the last Tuesday of every month. Is that right?
Yes, the last Tuesday of every month. There's been one change in a date one time, but it's always the last Tuesday. And, you know, the people that come, there's a lot of, core group that comes.
Right.
And depends on the presentation. You might get a little bit different crowd, but it's definitely growing.
And the Monroe County History Club, we talked before you guys came on, 3 years coming up in February.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every month, though, at the American Legion out on West 3rd Street, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it starts at 12 p.m., and there's lunch from 12 to 12:30, you know, via the American Legion. And then at 12:30, the program typically starts.
Okay.
So.
And you get people from all different backgrounds coming and talking about a variety of topics related to Bloomington and Monroe County. I mean, just all kinds of amazing stuff. So, Michael, talk a little bit about some of the people you've had there, and, you know, what the experiences and everything.
Yeah, we've had some pretty well-known local people. Bob Hamill, Bill Sturbaum is actually going to do our next one. He's taught in the school system here for decades. Derek Ritchie, Carrie Beam, who's the head of the Wiley House, Carol Krause, a renowned historian, has given a talk. Clay Stuckey, Christine Frizzell from down at the library, Randy Richardson, who's an expert on old postcards.
Oh, uh-huh.
David Hayes.
Yes.
You were there.
Yeah. That name. Yep.
That, mm-hmm. The history of the Hayes Market. Dan Combs did one of our more interesting ones, talking about the 1918 flu epidemic, of all things, which as it concerned Monroe County.
Yeah. If I recall, that was about the time you guys were last on, and that yeah. flu epidemic wiped out a large population of the mm-hmm. area, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, the percentage was pretty high. There were yeah. 700 people, and the county, you know, wasn't that big back in those days. Mm-hmm. So, and we've had people talk about RCA. We've had people talk about RCA. We've had people talk about Cascades Park. Happy Jack Noel, who was one of the original guys down at WTTV way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Soccer Stars, yeah. you know. And lots more.
Yeah, and you know, it's been a we try to get different in different arenas every time somebody mm-hmm. comes in, and we've had real good luck at getting people booked, and you know, we're kind of booked ahead now, so we're really making a good what I call good progress.
And this is a free club. There's no membership dues or anything like right. that, unless you guys are soliciting something on the side that you haven't told anybody just yet.
No,
not that
that's
we know
a good idea.
Of.
I hadn't thought of that yet.
We'll keep that in mind.
Thank you for that.
Let me make a note of that here.
Well, because it is Short Show Friday, we got a couple of minutes before we need to take a break and get to high school football. If you're catching us Friday night. But the next club meeting occurs next Tuesday, correct?
Yes, it's Tuesday, the 29th of September.
Okay.
And, of course, Bill Sturbaum will be there to talk about Prospect Hill. He lived there a big part of his life. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in that area in Prospect Hill from years way back. He's going to talk about the history, how much Bloomington Restoration's had to do with that,
mm-hmm.
And the WPA and the CCC, which is, you know, part of that area. And so
what was the you know better than I probably, the approximate borders of Prospect Hill, like Howe Street?
That I don't know the exact
borders.
It's like
Howe Street, Jackson, also West 3rd. It goes down to where the old restored house was. Of some of your relatives, right?
Yeah, the Paris Dunning House.
Yeah, Paris Dunning
yeah.
House. And
so
it's
my grand
general area.
Yeah,
it's not too common there. Anymore to hear of homes that are named.
Yeah,
you know, well, Paris Dunning being the governor, and my grandma, great grandma, grandpa, you know, lived in that house at one time, and you know, of course, it was. I got some great pictures, you know, from that. So it's really mm-hmm. cool.
So if somebody wants to attend next Tuesday. Come, hang out. Lunch is optional if you want to do that.
Yep.
What should somebody bring if they wanted to come? Anything in particular?
No. If they want to bring something of historical importance they want to share, they're welcome to. We have a table we display things on. We have one couple that brings old pictures of Bloomington every month.
Yes.
And people leaf through the photos up there. But just anything of interest that people might think others want to see.
Yeah, and
bring, fair game.
Yeah, and bring your friend.
Yeah, so that'd be a big thing. Bring a friend.
Yeah, bring a friend and meet the people. And the people is what it's all about. I mean, the mm-hmm. people that come, it's a good group, and it's like a reunion for a lot of people. You know, they're like, gosh, I haven't seen that for a long time. So,
and I tell everybody, we talked about next week's meeting. What's going on in October before we need to take a break? Have you got an October schedule?
Yes, October. It's Lou Malcolm. She'll do a presentation on the history of the Monroe County cemeteries.
Oh, really?
And
perfect
then,
for Halloween time.
Perfect for Halloween. And then, of course, in November, we're approaching Jim Murphy from CFC.
Okay.
And he's anxious to do a speech for us. So we're, you know, that's our next three presentations coming up. So.
Wonderful.
And real quick, if you want to, we do have an email list, so you can, it's Monroe County History Club at yahoo.com. So you can join that list and see what's going on each month.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So. We're going to take a break. If you're catching us Friday night, we've got high school football coming up with Joe Smith here in just a couple of minutes, Chalk Talk, and then North Putnam at Edgewood. If you're catching us Saturday morning, though, more to come with Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio along with Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club. Excuse me. And they meet the last Tuesday of each month. And talking in the break, Michael, you said that you've been going down to the Herald Times and doing helping with some archiving of old photos down there. What are you finding?
Yeah, they have thousands, tens of thousands of old negatives, which begin in the fall of 57. And we just go, they're in there daily, and not all of those negatives got in the newspaper, only about one out of every 10.
Sure.
A lot of photos taken, but we found some interesting stuff of old homes and a lot of goings on with the people of Bloomington that we hadn't seen or people had forgotten. And of course, we're archiving them to preserve them because these photos are really good quality.
If I wanted to go, my dad graduated in 1966, mm-hmm. played baseball at the old Bloomington High School. Could I find those photos online anywhere right now, or is that something on down the line perhaps with this?
That could happen. Yeah, of course, they're property of the HT.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, we hope, after we're done with this, and we're not sure how far we're going to go, like sometime in the 80s maybe,
uh-huh.
Those things, hopefully, all the ones we choose to be scanned will end up online somewhere.
Great.
I know when we got to 1963, when I played football, uh-huh. I looked really close, and I found a couple, actually. But, that's a good question, and hopefully they will end up online. And also, I think Derek Ritchie will be able to use some of these photos for a future book that he's got then and now.
Okay.
And those pictures, you know, I was down there for a couple of years, and I haven't been there for a while, but, you know, you just never know what you're going to run into. You might see, like, Tamale Joe up on the square mm-hmm. in the 60s. I mean, I'm sure there's one in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's a surprise every time you go.
And yeah, nobody has ever figured out how to make tamales like Tamale Joe.
No, he died with the recipe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's kind of hard to explain to people that none of these things are labeled or anything. They're just mm-hmm. negatives.
Yeah.
And we have to look at them over a backlight and decide which, you know, try and identify what they are.
Absolutely.
It's not easy. And now a couple of times we've taken these photos down to our program because we have the permission from the HT to do that. We can't disseminate them any other way. We can't email them or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. But they gave us permission to show them at the history club meetings, and people really like that.
Oh, they love it.
And a lot of those people there could identify some of those photos. We had no idea.
I would think, you know, put 40 or 50 of those in like a PowerPoint and
that's what
just
we
go through and
yes.
say.
We put about 100 each time, I think. And we'll do it again, too, in a few months. So.
And each time you show them, somebody in that crowd knows
something about every,
yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody
sure.
fills in the blanks, basically, you know. So
that's been fun. That's been a good
really
project.
Interesting, yes.
Good, 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 good. What have you been up to with the History Club? What's your latest project right now?
Well, I approached the First United Methodist Church about their archives, and I'm supposed to have a meeting hopefully pretty soon with them to go through there, and maybe they'll share some nice things with us. And my girlfriend has worked there for about almost 40 years and kind of got access to that. So, and there's, you know, some 8mm films of the, you know, the church burning. Somebody, you know, an individual took that movie. So we're anxious to see what they have. And mm-hmm. that's part of the, you know, Monroe County History Club trying to dig into some of the old photos.
Well, I know you guys are very active, along with Derek also, on Facebook, and mm-hmm. people put pictures up on there all the time, and everybody's got information and so on. What are you looking for, though? I mean, not like, is there something out there that somebody's asked about that nobody really has any information on, or is there one thing, some project where you're like, we're trying to find this person or this a photo of this building or something like that?
Well, I give an example of something we're doing right now. We're going to do a future program. We're not sure when it's going to be done, on the history of the old BHS, which, you know, a lot of people in this town went through that high school.
Absolutely.
And have fond memories of it before it unfortunately burned down in 1967. But we've started, and it's more of a daunting project than we thought. But one of the mysteries we've had, I don't know if you remember the Winged Victory statue.
I've heard of it.
It was at the old BHS, and then it was lost in the fire. And in 1997, when they did the remodeling of BHS South with the new atrium and everything, mm-hmm. they put a copy of it up there. So it still remains at BHS South, even though it's a facsimile. But what we're trying to find is where it came from, who made it, and we've come up against a stone wall. We have checked the old Gothics. We've checked old Optimists, newspapers, everything. We do know that it was dedicated, given by the class of 1922, and we do think it only took 4 years to show up at the school, actually, probably 1926. But all the rest of the things, like who's the carver for the original, where was it carved at, when did it, for sure actually get there?
Mm-hmm.
We found that, we were surprised we haven't been able to find anything, but we're still looking. So
I would imagine that most of the class of 22 is probably not making it to their reunions anymore.
I'm thinking there's nobody to talk to in this life anyway.
we're talking with Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club, and just a variety of things. Next Tuesday is their next monthly meeting out at the American Legion on the west side of town. Michael, what else you want to talk about this evening? You said that you had a couple of things as you were jotting down notes. Was there anything?
One thing I want to make sure and do, we need to give the Legion a shout out.
Absolutely.
By all means.
The place where
yes.
we have each of our meetings, they've just been stellar.
Yes.
And they take care of us so well and furnish all the equipment we need to make it a success. And I don't give them enough credit sometimes. So.
Yeah, there's plenty of room, and they add waitresses to come to the meetings and make sure everybody's served, and you just couldn't ask for a better place.
Yeah, and Dick Dunbar is the commander.
Oh, yes.
This Legion, and he's no friend of mine, but this Legion, they tell me, is the number one post in Indiana.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And I can see why. And, they have a lot of programs on there besides us.
Yes.
These two people.
A lot of dedicated people there that really care about the Legion and the function of the whole.
How do you guys keep it contained in terms of the conversation? Because I would imagine that, stuff that we've talked about tonight, you can really get out into the weeds on something very easily. Is it an interactive experience? Does the speaker kind of do their thing and then offer a little Q&A at the end? Or how do you get people from saying, well, here's this photo of this building, to, well, my grandmother knew the recipe that lady that worked in that building used to make in 1903 or something?
Well, it's an open room. I mean, when people put up a picture, like say a guy's got like the Prospect Hill thing coming
up.
Maybe somebody in that. I lived in a house on Prospect Hill, and I posted a picture of it the other day. But when you show those pictures, they usually allow people to, comment on it, and you never know where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But it might go, the whole program might go an hour, it might go 2 hours. But it's usually open for anybody to speak, and everybody listens, and typically the presenter knows most of what he's doing or she's doing, but there's always somebody to add something to it, that's what we want.
Absolutely.
So we want people to be involved and say, hey, my grandma lived in that house next door there, or whatever. So
yeah, the crowd we have is pretty smart people. They know a lot about a lot of stuff, a lot of knowledge out there.
Yes.
And occasionally a presenter might make an error, not their own error. They might have read something.
Sure.
It was their program, and it wasn't quite right. And somebody, either an expert on the Monon or an expert on the quarries or an expert on whatever else in town, will stand up and say, no, that's not quite right, and then they'll correct it.
Mm-hmm.
But and sometimes, we don't give any instructions on, what people should ask.
Sure.
But they know what to do, and the presenters are always real open to people making suggestions.
Oh, yes.
And they'll ask questions, depending on the program, during and then after. And sometimes they'll ask questions for a half hour afterwards.
Oh, yeah. It'll just keep rolling.
That's not even unusual.
Yeah.
Okay. So what topics are you looking for on down the line or anything? Are you trying to find somebody in a specific avenue or history? I think in the break we talked about history of Bloomington Hospital. Trying to find somebody maybe who's got some, and unfortunately, Bud Kaur, who was the president of the hospital for 30 years, just passed away a couple of weeks ago. But I'm sure there's a lot of people in this community who have some longtime experience there that might be able to come and participate.
But we're looking at, as far as Bloomington Hospital, we're definitely looking at that. We just have to find the right person. And I may contact somebody in HR or somebody like that who can steer us the right way, because I know there's someone out there that can give that history, which would be a real interesting one. Actually, where I grew up is right where the hospital sits now.
Mm-hmm.
That was our 611 West 2nd. Our driveway was right where the hospital driveway is, exactly the same place. So, and that we left in 1962, but it was around very small much smaller before that.
Right.
And the expansion took away a whole neighborhood. So there's all kinds of stuff a person could talk about with its history.
Okay.
Yeah, like the Penguin / Chocolate Mousse. I mean, you know, obviously that's an iconic business in town. It's been there forever. And, you know, that's stuff we like to approach that draws an interest to the crowd because, you know, everybody's different when they come to the meetings, what they want to hear. So, but we try to get, you know, topics that will draw, obviously, a big crowd, you know, but it's just we got a good crowd. I mean, that's so, but we're always stomping around trying to find another business. You know, it could be the swinging pizza. You just never know.
The swinging pizza with the world famous sausage.
Right. See, I mean, that goes way back. So, and it's been a lot of stuff there, and it could be anything.
Yeah. We're also kind of looking at doing a history of the downtown proper.
Yes.
I mean, that might be as interesting as anything you could do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Considering how far back that square goes. The courthouse and everything that goes with it. It's just a question of finding the right people.
Right.
To get up there and give a lot of the history.
And they may know the history, but, you know, there may be some lapses and things where they weren't involved or something. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the PowerPoint program is a big part of the – not everybody has had pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy from RCA came, and his was just as interesting as anybody else's because he had some great stories.
Yeah.
You know, so you just go with the flow, and if somebody's got pictures and stories about houses, it's wonderful. So
good. Before we wrap up, anything else you want to mention, bring up before we remind everybody of next Tuesday's schedule?
Yeah, I would just encourage, you know, we're always looking for ideas and you know, we've been incredibly lucky about getting speakers. We thought we had no idea we'd be able to get these many people lined up. It may get a little more difficult down the road. So anybody that has any ideas, we'll listen to them and you know, think about them strongly so they can contact us at what was that web address?
Monroe County History Club at yahoo.com.
Okay. And then also on Facebook, the two groups that you guys participate in most.
Which is the Monroe County History Club. We have our own page.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, there's I Remember Bloomington Way Back When, which most of the announcements are made on all the Bloomington pages.
Okay.
Including I have my own Monroe County History page.
Okay.
And you know you're from Bloomington. There's another page. So they're all announced on there so people can be aware of
what's going on. We'll put all the links on our Facebook page and facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview.
Yeah.
And then on the WGCL radio page as well. So next Tuesday, noon, American Legion out on West 3rd Street.
Yep.
Right.
Get there around 12 o'clock. Get yourself some lunch if you'd like. And then at 12:30, again, speaker's going to be
Bill Sturbaum. Who started teaching at BHS, the old BHS, 1963. Incidentally, I was class of 64, so our class was the first class he taught in Bloomington. And it was at World Lit, and I was one of his first classes. So I've known the guy for a long time. Yeah. He's a great guy, very smart.
Yeah.
Good.
The program will be great.
Wonderful. Yes. And no cost. Come out. No cost at all. Just bring a friend.
Bring a friend. You can buy your lunch at the Legion, and it's great food, great fun, a lot of good people. And it's just a wonderful thing for all of us.
Good deal. And please tell Mr. Ritchie he's welcome at any time also. We need to get
we
Derek
will send that message
in the studio
evening,
again. Because
yes.
I'm hoping that there's a follow-up to Bloomington Then and Now coming in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, by all means, yes.
Yeah, there will definitely be.
Okay. Shout out to Derek Ritchie.
There you go. There you go. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Sports here in the last few minutes of the Bloomington Review. Mr. Piller, I'm just going to let you fly and make up for lost time.
I know, Jim. I'm so excited. I've been ready for this. Jim, the Reds are on the radio, as always, here at WGCLradio.com. And on WGCL, we've got Reds coverage with the Saturday afternoon, 1:10 against the New York Mets. And then next week, a big series for me, Jim. Yes. Cubbies, 29-30, 7:10, 7:10, both nights. I guess what that'd be a Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And then at the end of next week, we've got the Reds
Saturday
in Pittsburgh for the Pirates, 7:05. So my friends, Dave Duff, Julie Curry, all the other Reds fans out there, your season will willfully come to an end for the Reds. But the Cubbies hopefully will be going on. But as always, an awesome year of Reds baseball on the radio. Marty yes. Brenneman is a legend, and so those evenings when you can just turn on Marty on the way home or just have that going on the radio while you sit outside, you just can't beat that. So
before you go any further, speaking of legend, we have to make sure we get this in. You have a favorite Yogi Berra phrase that was ever issued?
I always love, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. And that's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah. So 90 years old, committed
gosh,
Yankee.
I mean, you know what? I saw something that, you know, he was in the military, of course, and he landed on Normandy Beach in World War II.
I didn't know.
Married
that.
To the same woman for 65 years, and he won 10 World Series rings with the Yankees. You know what? You want a life? My yeah. gosh.
And everybody liked him.
My gosh.
I mean, even if you can accomplish so many things, but if you aren't liked by your peers and people.
Yeah.
So,
it's a sad loss for the baseball world, but, you know, my gosh, what a blessing that we got to be fans and got to hear some of his geniusness over the years. As always, in addition to the Reds, Jim, football here on WGCL tonight, again, North Putt goes over to the Mustang Corral, where you're going to be later on this evening for the Edgewood All-Score Reunion, so have fun with that.
Yep.
Panthers and the Cougs, also in action, of course, tonight. Bloomington South will be at Terre Haute South, and Bloomington North will be at Dennis Martin Field. Against Perry Meridian, the Falcons, in a Conference Indiana matchup will be there. Colts, of course, will be on the radio this weekend, as always, Sunday against the Tennessee Titans down in Nashville. That's a 1 o'clock game time there. And then, obviously, the big news this week is the Hoosiers. Hoosier football, big news. How about that?
3-0.
Did you hear that? 3-0. You know, so if you're not paying attention, they're at Winston-Salem, North Carolina to play Wake Forest. The Demon Deacons are 2-1. That's going to be on WNDY, Channel 23, locally here on DirecTV, and I think on other local cable companies. But, you know, they've been trailing at halftime. They've played a couple teams that, in the grand scheme of things, will not be national powerhouses. But they're putting up a bunch of points, and they're 3-0. Jim, you got to win 6, and you get to go to a bowl game. And so early bowl projections, people are saying, you know, maybe the Air Force Bowl, maybe, you know, something down in Texas, and if they get to play, that'd be big.
Do you think they're going to get College Game Day for the Ohio State game?
I was going to talk about that too. It's been big news earlier this week. An online process to try to get a College Game Day here. You know, Lee Corso is kind of the star, if you will, of College Game Day, just because he's such a personality and a character, and he was here from 73 to 82 as the football coach at IU. You know, it's a fun show. Obviously, college football fans know it and like it. And the guy that runs the show said, we look for great stories and we look for matchups. And so there's Alabama-Georgia and Athens, Georgia is a huge, huge game this weekend. And then Notre Dame goes down to Clemson for a really big game down there too. So at the end of the day, IU has got to beat Wake Forest to even be in the conversation. And then we can talk about the pluses and the minuses of potentially hosting Ohio State on national TV and having that build up. We'll see. You got to beat Wake Forest first. I think that's the first big thing.
And they're 2-1.
Yeah, they are. So I don't know. The other big news out of IU when it comes to those sorts of events is Hoosier Hysteria. The date was announced to be Saturday, October 24th. I've had the privilege of officiating that the last couple years, and unfortunately probably won't get to do that this year because of some travel plans. Hoosier Hysteria, Saturday, October 24th. Get that on your calendar and get those canned goods. You know, Chuck and Glass talked about that this morning, and that was a mess. You know, either that or IU should start charging. Start charging to get in there. That's absolutely ridiculous. People have got to contribute to those causes. It's a great show. It's a great time. It's a great night. Give back a little bit. Contribute to the community. And then earlier, Fred Glass and Joe Smith down at Yogi's, IU football text alerts are available 313131, Jim.
Yes, and you text the IUFB to 313131, and that gets you text alerts if you are driving to a game at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington with all of the I-69 construction, with all of the events downtown and all of that. This is what you need to make sure that you get there at the most convenient way possible.
And we never advocate for texting and driving here on
the
Bloomington
Review. No, that's why you have your compadres and friends do that for you.
That's correct.
We're going to take a break, wrap up the show, talk a little bit about Lotus Fest and Hoosiers Outrun Cancer. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes here in the show. Thanks again to Skip Chambers and Michael Carter for joining us this week. Again, the next Monroe County History Club meeting is next Tuesday at noon at the American Legion out on West 3rd Street. We'll put all the information up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also at WGCLRadio.com on the podcast link, which will be up by noon today, Saturday. So check that out. As well. Forecast
cool,
for the weekend, Mr. P.
It's Saturday morning, 40% chance of showers today, mostly cloudy, high near 74. Saturday night, 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, low around 60. Sunday, just 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 77. Next week, looking pretty good, low 80s again early next week, I think. But all your weather all the time, WGCLRadio.com.
It is Hoosiers Outrun Cancer Day today, Saturday. Registration starts at 7:30 in the morning. Teams can pick up packets throughout the morning long. And then cancer survivors get there at the event stage at 9:15, so just after the show is ending. They'll have the open ceremony at 9:30. From 10 to 10:25, it's a one-mile kids run, family walk. Then they get to the 5K run, the 5K walk, all of these things. More than 4,200 participants have already signed up, and they will welcome people late to the gate. So come on out, and it's
a wonderful event. Really, it's
out
one
on
of the best.
IU campus.
One
and
of the
then
best
Lotus
events
Fest,
in town.
Yeah, Lotus, music man.
The only thing you got to remember about Lotus Gym is it's not cheap and it's not free. You can stand, like, if it were me, I'd just go down and stand there and try to hear something from a distance. But $70 weekend pass, $40 for one ticket. But this is one of the cool events anywhere around.
It is.
Just dozens and dozens of artists from all over the place doing world music and culture activities all downtown Bloomington, all over the place. Go to visitbloomington.com and get all the information about that. Our friend Julie Warren, of course, is all over that. And later on tonight, Jim, we've got the Harvest Wine Festival. $20 a carload out at the Creek Bend Vineyards. We'll get you some live music, delicious food, and vineyard tours, all kinds of good stuff. Hairbangers Ball down at the Bluebird. Then Dollar Day tomorrow at Wonder Lab for $1. You can get into one of the other cool things in our community. So my mom always says the show's better when Julie Warren's on. I really don't know what to think of that. But you know what? We'll take it. We love Julie. So visit Bloomington.com. See all the great stuff that's happening in Bloomington this weekend.
Next week on the show, Abby Gitlitz with the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch. Speaking of Julie Warren, Abby's never been on the show before, but Julie highly recommends her. And this is a great event. And we're getting into October, so hopefully we'll get a little scary stories from old friend of the show, Matt Sheehan, and maybe some other things with the Ghost Festival coming up. Just a lot of cool stuff.
Fun stuff, Jim.
It is, absolutely. Well, please come back anytime.
I would love
Keller.
To. I appreciate the invite, buddy.
Excellent. You know the code to get in.
Yes, sir.
I think. All right, we're going to head out, everybody. Saturday morning, Your Money with David Hayes coming up in just a couple minutes. Thanks again, and again, WGCLRadio.com. Have a great one. Bye-bye.